Welcome to BL Talk, where we discuss issues of importance. These are the matters of concern to minor attracted people in general and boy lovers in particular. Join us every week for a new discussion. Now, here's your host.
Hello and welcome to BL Talk, the weekly podcast where we discuss issues of importance to maps in general and boy lovers in particular. I'm your host, ZoomZoom4, and with me today is a boy's XO, dragon lover, cowboy, wolf runner, Gary, and Nicholas. Today we're tackling the question of parental ownership. Do parents own their kids? Are children the quote-unquote property of their parents? We already know that parents exercise a great deal of control over their minor children. Everything from the clothes they wear to what they're allowed to watch on TV, music they listen to, books they read, games they play, everything has to be approved by their parents, including, and this is where we come in, including the friends they have. As boy lovers, hoping to establish a friendship with a boy, we know that the relationship needs to have the approval of his mom and dad. And it's true that the parental influence declines as the boy gets older, so those of us who are teen lovers, say, may have an easier time than those of us who are little boy lovers, where the boy is at an age where his parents have a great deal of control over his daily life and activities. It seems to be that up to a certain age, there's an unspoken belief that the child is under the parent's ownership. I'd say until the age when he starts wanting to be more independent, wanting to make his own decisions, have his own voice heard. That's usually around 12 or 13 or even younger, but the tween years generally. But society says that a child, a minor, is not yet a real human being. He's not yet reached the status of personhood, that he's under his parents' wing and therefore looked after like he's their property. Many of us who have had young friends have dealt with the parents and can attest to this in one way or another. We've had the experience of dealing with mom and dad, and some of us here are parents also. Let me start off here with Cowboy, who is not a parent from what I understand. What do you think about this? Should the boy be able to have control over who he's friends with? And how much say should mom or dad have in this?
Well, for me, like I would say from 8 and onwards, it should be their choice. Uh-huh. Now, before 8, that's, you know, will be a gray area.
A gray area.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Because, well, like I wanted to say, I Googled this before we started. I Googled our children, parents' property, and there's a lot of different viewpoints here. And one person said, and this stuck out with me, if you've ever had little children, you know that left to their own desires, they would kill themselves because what they want is often unsafe, be it their desire to drink or eat poisonous substances, run into the road, never go to sleep, only eat candy, never go to school, wear nothing but underwear or their diapers all the time. So the parents' job is to protect them from themselves up to a certain age. And now Nicholas said about age 8 or 9. Nicholas, you're here, right?
Okay. Yeah, I agree with Cowboy on that front. You know, I think about age 8, and that's where I lost my mother. She passed away when I just turned 8 years old, and it was weird on a couple of fronts because, I mean, that was my best friend that I'd lost. You know, all of a sudden she had a disease that just got her real quick. And then you know, it's also the age where you are of an understanding about your world. I don't think you're going to burn down the house. You're not going to kill yourself, like you mentioned there, just left to your own devices, I think, by the age of 8 and certainly by 9. So I think, and I, it's up to the parent, you know, yes, kids are sort of quote unquote property of the parents up until, you know, I mean, till certain laws kick in. That's just kind of they, you have to go through the parents, you know. And that's why kids rebel so much around the teen years, because biologically we're meant to split away from the parents. But I think by age 8 or 9, kids should have the ability to make their own decisions to some extent about who they're going to hang with. And now I come at this in 3 different ways. One is when I turned 8 years old, like I was just saying, I think I was ready for a lot of freedom, and I had some of that too. And I come at it also as the parent of a son who's now in his 20s, and the way I raised him. And I think it worked out pretty good, where I think that by that same age, he was able to have more friends. Now, he didn't have an adult friend, but I also come at it as a boy lover, and that kind of overarches everything. And as a boy lover, I would want to make sure that I sat down and talked to that man and be 100% sure he's not going to do anything that I wouldn't do with somebody else's son. That is, be a friend for him, but don't do any hanky-panky. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. But be a friend, be a mentor, love that child in a way that most men would not, but still able to put that kind of manly example to use that we all have inside of us, and make an impression, a lasting good impression on that child. To me, that's kind of where I come at in this. So yeah, you got to go through the parents, whether you call that, you know, the possession of the parent, or, you know, oh, that they have ownership of the child, or whatever you want to call it. Yeah, you got to go through them, and that's okay. But I think the child should have more autonomy by age 8, 9 and on, and more increasing after that.
And some parents are more controlling of their kids than others.
They sure are.
Some parents are just absent, like in with XO, I believe. I mean, much of your experience with young friends has been where there's little to no parental presence in the relationship or in the boy's life. Is that correct?
Yes, it has happened that I have known. I have had wives that had mothers. But I definitely try to stay away from the fathers, just for the reason that Nicholas mentioned.
Oh, because they might be looking at you suspiciously?
Well, you know, you have to define hanky-panky.
Because they think that, as men, they kind of know how men think. And they might be, you know, believing that you're just thinking
with you. Inside every man, there's a little boy struggling to get out. And it's common for men to have an affinity with boys. That's just a natural thing.
It makes us feel youthful, in some people would say.
Even, and by hanky panky, I mean introducing him to sex.
Sexual things.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I thought you meant. So that's an anti-C concept.
If you want to call it that. Yeah.
Yeah. But the thing is, by the time, again, when children are really small, they have this group identity with mommy and daddy, mommy, daddy, me. And along about 7 or 8 or 9, they begin to develop a separate identity. And that's pretty well established by the age of 9. Before then, all of their touchy-feely, goody-goody comes from mom and dad. And after that, you know, they start thinking about something else. I've known 9 or 10-year-old boys just love to experiment. And they don't have any problem with playing around.
It's fun.
It is fun for them. And they enjoy it. They get good feeling from it. And the thing about it is, to them, at that point, it does not feel wrong. It feels right. And if they don't know that it's wrong until later on, when somebody tells them, oh, that was wrong.
Well, society thinks it's wrong. And in this case, society says, you're the adult. You, like, if the boy starts wanting to play around sexually, you, as the adult, you should know better, they say. from their perspective, that society's overwhelming perspective, that it's wrong, that you as the adult should stop that, because you know better. You're the adult, and you know that it's wrong. And he, of course, being a child, just does what feels good, and you should protect him from – be there to protect him from himself and from his own impulses. And
as an adult BL, we know that that's not wrong. It's not wrong. It's not a sin. The only wrong with it is what happens if that somebody finds out.
The consequences.
The consequences. That's what makes it wrong right there.
Society's reaction to
it. That's not our fault. That's society's fault.
That's a pro morality there.
And all that kind of stuff. So.
Let me get back to Nicholas here real quick. You were saying that you want to make sure that the man doesn't have any hanky panky in mind. Now, what if he did? Is there any scenario where that would be acceptable to you?
You read my mind, because I was going to say that would be a great topic for another time,
right?
In and of itself, because
once
that happens, you see, it's complete departure. I have spent time with YFs, where he'd come over for hours. I think I told you all, and it was just the most wonderful thing. He'd come over to my house. The parents knew me really well, and we just were great friends and everything. And it was like he was like 8, 9 years old, and we'd cook dinner and we'd hang out and watch video games, whatever. We'd play video games, and it was great. But there was never anything remotely sexual. And of course, I wouldn't say it if there were, right? But you'll just have to take my word for it. I just couldn't, it just never entered my mind to do that. But if it were to happen, I guess I'd have to put it back in the ball in your court, XO. There were a couple of guys sitting down over a beer, and we're both BLs, but I have a son, and trying to figure out how I would be okay with that. If the only way is if my son kind of really wanted to do that.
And really press the issue with you, right?
And really, really push. Like, I really love this man. And, I just don't see at age 8 or 9 him having those kind of feelings exactly.
No, that would be rare. Maybe when he gets a little bit older, he might. But I'd be totally okay with that.
I would be okay, well, like, at age 12.
The thing is, at 8 or 9, the vocabulary isn't really there to explain the feelings that they have. It doesn't mean that the feelings aren't there. It doesn't mean they're not quality feelings. It doesn't mean they're not real feelings. Just that, when I was 10 years old, I had my first, or my, actually it was my second experience. And, I knew what I wanted to do. And nobody put the idea in my head, like I said before. But I never had heard the word homosexual before, or boy lover before, or had any idea of all of that. So if someone were to ask me, I wouldn't be able to describe it in terms that I can now.
Okay.
So you're saying he might enjoy it even though he wouldn't be able to verbalize
explain it,
really.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let me switch over here to Gary and ask you: How much control should a parent have in their child's relationship? Like, how should a parent be able to shut down the friendship just like that? Just if they don't approve, even if it's not doesn't seem valid to the child or the adult involved, should they have the right to just say, no, you can't see that man anymore because we don't think it's right?
Well, firstly, I just want to say, I think what everyone has said here is perfectly reasonable, and I totally agree. However, I think children in the U.S. at least are treated like property, and I think it is extremely fucked up. It's regardless of age, children literally are seen as property.
They are. Right. I've had experience with that. Yeah.
With my own childhood experience, that's something I find deeply fucked up, and is something I'm really against. I see the term parental rights get thrown around a lot. Parents don't have rights. They have responsibilities. And there's a big difference there. I think before I go on like too much of a rant about how messed up I think children are treated and, you know, how shitty my childhood was because children are seen as property. I think around age 8, a kid should be able to like make their own decisions on who they hang out with. I mean, if we're just looking
after
at
age
it,
8.
Yeah. I mean, if we're,
even if it's an adult.
Yeah. And if we're looking at it from like a statistics standpoint, children are literally safer with strangers than they are adults. 60% of child abuse happens within homes. So, and a higher percent is somebody the kid like already knows. But most of the time when a child is actually being harmed, it's by their parent. I'm not somebody who thinks that the government should have full control over like what children are doing. I'm a very, it takes a village type of person. I think everybody should be kind of raising the kids in their area.
Like in the neighborhood, like yeah, kind of a collective thing.
Yeah. Like that's kind of how I view it. But I totally agree with everyone else here. I think it's perfectly reasonable. Like if I had kids, like, I mean, even if they were a little, you know, older than 8, I would still want to check them out. But I mean, that's just my own.
Sure.
My own experience kind of would probably make me a bit overprotective, but not to the extent of like, I don't want my child to have friends. That's something I would want to cultivate. Because that was something I wasn't allowed to have growing up, but I would be.
You weren't allowed to have any friends, like of any age?
Yeah, not really, no. It's okay. Like, especially not allowed to like see in person. I was totally isolated. But
and they made that your parents were responsible for that.
Yeah. Well, I should say my caregivers at the time, but yeah.
Was that overprotectiveness? Is it?
It was too. I wouldn't say overprotectiveness. A lot of it was to make sure that nobody knew I was being abused.
They were worried about abuse then.
Yeah. Like,
sexual abuse?
No, they didn't want anyone to know that they were abusing me.
Oh, I got it. Okay.
Yeah.
I see.
It was that sort of situation, which I know isn't everybody's. And my judgment is a bit clouded on the topic because of my own childhood just being the way it was. But I basically agree with everyone else here. I think it's reasonable.
Okay, then at this point, I will say that I agree that a parent should, in that situation, has a right perhaps to talk to the man who is having a relationship with their son. But see, the thing is, if a boy escapes home, an abusive home, and finds himself in a contact relationship with a man, okay, and everything is fine, he's having a great time, everything is cool, blah, 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 and when it's found out, who gets in trouble? Not the parents.
Okay. I didn't catch the beginning of what you were saying, XO. What were you talking about?
What I was saying is that I can agree that a parent should be able to or have a right to speak to the man as having a relationship with their son.
Mm-hmm. Right, so, like interview him. To make sure
more or less, kind of, or get comfortable with him, however
screen,
you want to put
screen
it.
Screen him.
And so if a boy is in an abusive home and he escapes, you know, maybe not permanently, but on a daily basis or on weekends or whatever, to a loving, caring, nurturing AF, have contact relationship, everybody's fine with it. Your parents don't know about it, but here you are, the boy is happy with it and blah, blah, blah. But when the whole situation is found out, who is it that gets in trouble? It's not the parents.
Right, it'll be the man because, like,
they'll
see him as doing something behind the parents' back, which is the reason why many BLs think it's very important to be on the up and up with the parents.
It's not just that, but it's the cultural stigmatism to a man boy love.
Right, that the man is somehow going to be a bad influence on the boy.
Yeah, and if the man is sin, immoral, predatory, all of that.
Right, they think there's inherently predatory quality to the relationship.
Oh, absolutely. Every time.
And that even if the boy seems to be enjoying it and wanting to be part of it, that he doesn't know that he's actually being coerced, and he just doesn't realize it, that the man is making him think that it's something he wants, but that it's actually good for him.
You know, and there are probably some circumstances where that happens, but, you know, that would be, I would think, in the minority, you know. Boy lovers are very careful and loving with their boys. It's just a small minority of men who are abusive, or what you could call child molesters. The rest of us are not.
Right, we know that. Yeah. And if only, you know, society would realize that. Now let me move to Dragon Lover here, because you have worked with boys who are mentally disabled and developmentally behind. And so you've seen like boys who are probably like more immature even in their older years. Now, how does that influence your perspective on this topic?
Well, boy, oh boy. I mean, I look back on like a lot of years of working with a lot of different kids, and in reading their case files and admission slips and, you know, just everything about the kid in one binder that I would have to read through, I found that there, and this is just in my own mind, this is not a study that I read or anything, it's just in my own mind, I correlated these factors, and I came out to find that documented sexual abuse in a very young age, like 3, 4, 5. It retards them. I don't know.
Yeah, it kind of screws them up, their development.
Slows down their mental development. Mm-hmm. I mean, because now he's having this thing happen when he's 3, 4, and 5. And maybe at that time he's thinking, hey, this is okay. It feels good. I know this guy, so I must be all right. Mm-hmm. Nobody has told him, no, this is wrong. No, don't do that. But in later years, when he's expected to understand things like the difference between right and wrong and all those things, they're not learning it. They're not picking it up. They are – their physical age might be 12, but their mental age might be 6 or 7. Mm-hmm. Because they're acting like 6 and 7 years old, not 12. Mm-hmm. And I found that
This is because of the sexual abuse that happened at a very, very young age.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like totally, but it was a very high percentage.
It had a big influence.
Yeah.
Big effect. And
it was sexual abuse. It was not, you know, just beatings and stuff like that. It wasn't that, or it wasn't emotional. It wasn't like verbal abuse. It was sexual stuff. Mm-hmm. It's always this sexual stuff that brings out this negativity, basically. I mean,
yeah. You saying that makes me think of the movie Mysterious Skin, where the boy was his coach kind of coerced him. And I don't know if you guys have seen this movie. It's in the BL library. His coach coerced him into oral sex, and then he it kind of confused his understanding of sexuality and how it's expressed, and he kind of like then forces that on some other kids, so that kind of screwed him up, basically his developmental understanding of it. But back to the core topic of the parents' influence on their kids and how that correlates with like ownership mentality. Let me move to Wolf Runner here. And your Wolf, your experiences with boys and your young friends have always been basically sanctioned by like the Big Brothers and Big Sisters organization, where it was the parents were involved from the start.
Well, the one family, yes, and then the other family I got involved in, too long of a story, but I had known the mother and then found out she lived by one of my best friends, and that's how we started hanging out, and that's how I got together with her boys.
But you met the mother first. She
knew me. We already had a relationship, kind of.
Have you had the experience with where you met the boy, just you and him, and then later on met his parents?
No.
Were you struck up a friendship with him independently of that? Okay. Okay.
No.
Okay, so that's a unique point you have.
The opinions of do the parents own the or is it property of the parents? I wouldn't say parents think their child is property, but the parents are responsible for the child and their safety and basically what they do in and outside of their home. Mm-hmm. Then the parents have the right to see who they're hanging out with.
Right, right.
Now the deal is, and it should have been a long time ago, I agree with this, the kids get into a car accident.
Uh-huh.
And there's been an established pattern of recklessness, but the parent still lets the kid drive and gets into an accident and kills somebody.
Mm.
Well, the parents are now being prosecuted along with the kid.
Yes, yes.
And
so the parents have to exercise.
I totally agree with that, because the parents should have been monitoring what they're doing. You can't monitor every second, but they have apps on their phone now, 360.
Yeah, yeah.
My YF's mom had him on 360, and if he was in my car, she could tell how fast I was going.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And if you're going to be legally responsible for that child and suffer the same consequences he does when he screws up, you're not going to give him the chance to screw up.
Yeah, you're going to make sure he does not screw up.
Or if, say, your son or daughter was with somebody who was driving reckless and had many tickets and didn't care, you're not going to be apt to let them go out with them all the time, because you're going to be reading about your dead child in the news.
Exactly. Yeah. And this comes up a lot when the kid is a teenager and the parent is very interested in who his same age friends are, because to make sure he's not with the wrong crowd, you know, that's going to lead him astray and get him in trouble, or that, you know, he might end up dead in a ditch because of his friend's foolishness, and to make sure that he doesn't go along with it.
Right. So, there's a difference between thinking you have ownership over a child,
mm-hmm.
rather than you have the responsibility to keep that child safe and everybody else safe around him.
That's a good point. Yes. Yeah, it is. It is a good point. And that kind of goes with something that I was looking up here, where this person here on Reddit says that children are their parents' property. And here's what they say. They say, he says, quote, a big example in my view is traveling by car. When an adult gets into a car, they understand there's a risk that there will be an accident and they will be injured or die if there's an accident. A child is forced into a vehicle by their parents, as they both don't understand the risk and they will likely be punished by their parent if they don't comply and get in the car. I understand that the government will take kids away from abusive parents, but the same can be said for pets, which are also property. I do not think that children as property is a good or bad thing, that just that it is reality. Okay, and now here's what someone else says to them in reply. It says, I think you're missing the custodial nature of the parent-child relationship. The parent forces their child into the car because they are legally their children's custodians, who are authorized to make decisions for and care for the child until that child comes of age to perform those responsibilities himself. So the parent has to make choice. What they're saying is that the parent has to make choices for the child that will keep the child safe. And I would add, up until the child gets to the age where they can make these choices themselves. But it's true that anyone under like 18 or say 16, the parent will step in and enforce their parental control if necessary, if they're like the alarms are going off in their head. And like we see as boy lovers where the parent, say, doesn't approve for whatever reason and wants to stop it and says, no, you can't take my son out. You can't go to the amusement park with him just because I don't think this is right. And you might say, well, why? Why is it not right? But they just don't think it is because, you know, you like, well, in my experience is what the father said. He said he needs friends his own age. Because I've had it where the parents shut down the relationship, and it was very difficult for me. It was heartbreaking, but that's what his dad said, is he needs friends his own age. And then my logical response to that, well, yes, sure he does, but can't he have friends, at least one, who is an adult? How is that bad? I couldn't really ask him that question. He you know, he shut the conversation down with his statement. You know, that was it. It was not up for discussion. You know, he closed it down with that.
You were using the example of parents force their kids to get in a car. It's not forcing. I have to go to the grocery store. My child is 6 years old and he can't stay home by himself. So he either goes with me or I don't go and we don't eat.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the custodial argument.
You're not forcing. You're displaying your responsibility.
Like it says, if you hand me your car and ask me to take care of it, I become the custodian of that car. It's not my property, but I will do what I think is best to keep it from harm. That's one example that was given here on the website I'm looking at. It's not my property just because I control it. It doesn't mean it's my property. It means I'm responsible for taking care of it and keeping it safe.
Correct. And when my kids were growing up, if we had friends stay over, their friends stay over, they all knew my position. All their parents knew my position. I won't touch your kid. I won't hit your kid. I will yell at them if they're screwing up. And they will listen to me when they're in my home. I'm responsible for them. If they get hurt, I'm legally responsible for them in my house and on my property. So if I have to take that responsibility and you want them to stay here, then they're going to listen to me like I'm their parent.
Yeah.
And I never once had anybody say anything about my position.
Mm-hmm. Because that's perfectly logical. And that should make sense to everyone, that position there. So let me ask, does anyone else have anything more? I think I've basically said my part about it.
No, I think we covered it.
Okay. Going back to I forget who it was because my mind's kind of foggy right now, but a parent wanting to terminate a relationship between their son and, you know, an adult man. Again, yeah, it's kind of like, you know, it's a case by case thing, right? Obviously, 5, 6, 7, yeah, a little bit young, you know, that. But if the kid is like 12, 13, 14, I think he is going to be more responsible in making his own decisions. And I think parents need to just kind of back off a little bit. And just, you know, just kind of monitor the situation, but not necessarily make a big thing out of it. Because I had
They should let him and give it a chance. They should hear him out and not just close it off, right?
That's right. Because I had that happen to me once. I happened to, I was out in my neighborhood doing something. I forget what. It's many years ago, and came across this kid. He was pushing a lawnmower. And I just happened to say, oh, you're going to cut some grass. And he said, yeah, we, you know, blah, 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 blah. Formed a friendship, this, that, and the third. So he wanted to go somewhere, which would require me driving him. So that meant that I had to go meet his parents. I had no problem with that. Absolutely. I even went ahead and dressed a little nice, you know, shave up, you know. So his name was Mike. And I went to Mike's house and he entered the door, brought me into the living room, and his mom and dad was both there, and they were very cordial. I mean, they were nice people until Mike said that me and him had been hanging out, you know, just hanging out in the neighborhood, just kick a ball on soccer course or something like that, you know, just stuff like that. And they freaked.
Because it seemed like something behind their back, didn't it, to them?
Yeah.
That's how they took it.
Yeah. And I tried to explain. I said, you know, don't think that this is any kind of weird situation. It's not. It's really not. All we're doing is going to a movie. We could walk to a movie theater or kick a soccer ball, play a little basketball, something like that. That's all this is. And the dad basically stood up, and I kind of backed away a little bit. This is a bigger guy. And he says, you are not to see my son again, ever, or I will call the police.
Oh, man.
So now I figured, you don't come at me like that. You don't do that. I said, what are you going to tell the police? What are you going to tell them? I'm hanging out with your kid. That's not against the law. It's not.
Right.
So he said, don't ever come around here. Don't, you know. And I was like, you know, how is it that you can just shut down this relationship? Don't give Mike any say at all. How is that good for you? And how is that good for him? And I was just so mad. I had to leave. I had to, because that was going to escalate very quickly.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I was talking about. Yeah.
I could feel my hackles getting stuck up in my back. I was getting ready to go. Mm-hmm. And I was like, if I had to punch this guy out right in front of his wife and kid, that's self-defense. He came at me first. Mm-hmm. But yeah, anyway, I basically said that. I was like, what is wrong with this?
It's unreasonable.
Yeah. And I told Mike a long time ago, I said, you know, this might be a problem. It might be.
I
want you to be honest with your parents. Be honest with them. If I ever do something that, you know, you're not comfortable with or whatever, tell your parents. I want you to be honest. And his dad actually did ask him right in front of me. Did this man ever do anything to you? And he said, absolutely not. No, he didn't. Never even tried to do anything. He's been nothing but a friend to me. And then he says, which is more than I can say for you.
Oh, wow.
I was like, damn.
Yeah, he wanted to have his say. He wasn't being heard.
Yeah, he was not being heard. Mm. So basically, I was thrown out of the house anyway. So, but I got my point across to the man, you know. Mom saying anything at all, so.
Yeah, you know, it's too bad that kids, once they grow up and actually have a voice in the world, that kid couldn't then go on and say, you know what? I had a relationship with this guy who turned out to be a BL, and it was the best friendship I ever had, and I miss him to every single day of my life. You know, it's too bad.
Yeah.
Because he's still a minor. He's still under their control.
No, but I mean, when he grows up, when we don't have anybody standing there to, you know.
Some do. I mean, there's accounts in studies and in books and documentary and things like that. There are accounts of that, where the boy, now grown up, stands up for the relationship and defends BLs and in his relationship in particular.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not heard enough, though.
It's not, because I think there's a real – I think in every one of us BLs, yeah, there are some a-hole BLs, but I think in every single one of us there is a streak of goodness, and you tapped into it, Dragon Lover, right there. So, and he knew it, and you know it.
Yeah, that was a great example. And that, like I said, is just what I was talking about, of the parent getting the wrong idea and then just saying, oh, shut it down, you know, and then even being threatening to you on top of that. Yeah, and that I think also has to do with someone else that they wouldn't want to deal with, the father. And I think that speaks to what they were saying there, like where he asked the boy, did he do anything to you? You know, that's something the father would ask, that suspicion being there, you know, of the man, you know, because he's a man too. And you know, so, but yeah, thank you for that. That adds a lot to it, and I'm glad that you were able to mention that. See you all around. Okay,
bye.
Okay, bye. Right, and I want to thank you guys again for this topic. It was all very interesting and enlightening, I appreciate you guys. And I want to say thank you for listening, everyone. Mm-hmm. Remember that you can hear BL Talk on Wired PM Radio on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, and you can catch the episodes on demand at the BL Library in the audio section, audio and podcasts. We have all the episodes on demand in an archive. And if you would like to participate, please send a email to one of us at bltalk@proton.me. All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we will see you next time. All right.
Bye-bye.
And I will see you all around. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on BL Talk are solely those of the individual participant or speaker and do not reflect the official stance of Wired PM Radio or any of its affiliates.